Hello?
Hello. It okay. Just told me the conference call was being recorded and I should press 1. So I did.
Yes. Then everything is okay because I've activated the recording function.
Oh, that's why. Okay. Is anyone else on?
Glenn.
Hi, Glenn.
Hi.
Has anyone seen email from any of the Japanese members? I have a feeling they're not attending.
I haven't seen any emails.
I didn't get anything from them. I don't know whether they are still following, whether we have calls on, whether they are generally interested in participating in our monthly calls.
Well, last month, Toritani-san, 2 months ago, sent his apologies because he had a conflicting meeting. I don't know. It would be nice if we could get at least one of the Japanese members to come occasionally.
Well, it might be appropriate, Till, to find out if they're still doing anything.
Well, they just sent minutes in March from their Tokyo face-to-face.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Which had activities and status on things they were doing.
Okay, so that's probably all we're going to ever get, right?
Maybe. Translations of the minutes from OP Japan is a lot better than nothing.
Yes.
We can still send them emails. Of course, we have to get them to respond, but... maybe.
At least...
We need to find out if it needs to be a whole other time for them or if there's some other way to get them to show up more often than once every 6 months.
Or they're not interested in attending.
Perhaps we should simply move, we should ask them whether they would like if we move the meeting
right.
to some other time or other day, which could be more convenient for them.
Yeah. I mean, it's early, but not unreasonably early in Japan, 8 a.m.
Yes.
If we put it later in Japan, it starts to get pretty late on the late East Coast and very late
into the
Europe.
Middle of the night for me.
Yeah, even more the middle of the night for you. It starts to get to be 3 a.m. or something. That doesn't work.
Yes.
Well, until if they're not going to have the meetings...
Then we should shift to a U.S.-European-centric time.
Right. 1 o'clock in the morning for you is getting,
Well, it's 11 at night is bad enough, but, late at night is bad, and the point is there are other people in Europe who, when we have planning calls for the printing summit, show up from time to time and who might show up if we had a U.S.-Europe-friendly time.
Yes, when the Japanese are generally not interested, we should take some time like we have used for the preparation calls of the summit.
So I have a question, Till. How important do you think, and Ira, of course, how do you think having maybe two meetings, one which involves America, U.S., and the other one which involves maybe the three of us and Japan?
I think it's a real good idea if we can get Japan to join us at some time, whenever that time may be.
If they're interested.
Just try to find the time. Ask the Japanese for a time when they would like to have a call in a way that it is not 3 a.m. for any one of us.
Right. But the point is we'd have to have meetings.
Another weekday.
Yeah, we'd have to have two meetings, though, Till. Is that okay?
Yes. Two meetings in a month is this is no problem for me.
Yeah, I guess I would.
The other meeting will be at a Europe and U.S. friendly time, so perhaps there one can also get some other interested parties from Europe to call in.
Yeah, you know, I mean, 1 o'clock or noon my time, which is Pacific, would be well,
that's better in Europe.
Yeah,
yes,
better.
It's terrible in Japan because it's earlier, right?
It's hideous in Japan, right?
Yeah. I was just thinking, you can go into the afternoon or the evening in Japan, and you can get Europe into the morning. However, I'm in the middle of the night, and you're in the, you know, body, you know, 9 in the evening or something, Glenn, you know, to make it work better.
Yes,
it's very hard. It's kind of impossible to make the Far East and Australia work at the same time as Europe as in the U.S., because somebody's awake in the middle of the night, because there's no other way to make the times align.
My real point was, I think the three of us are really truly interested in both parties. And
yeah, and it would be worth, even if it was late for Till or whatever, it would be worth the three of us being flexible, if we could, to somehow get Toritani-san and Mihara-san and a few of the Japanese, who are obviously active, to show up to a teleconference.
Yeah, and kind of act as the bridge, right?
Yeah, and act as the bridge, and go ahead and have a meeting which is Europe-U.S. friendly times. I mean, a civilized time for all of us.
But why don't you send the note out, Till, and ask Japan if that's okay with them, and if there's a time that works for you, me, Ira, and them.
Yes.
And then we can just do the European American thing whenever it's convenient for you.
Yeah. Bill, could you send that note to the OP Japan Reflector? Because I mean, they'll read it in English anyway, right?
Oh yeah, they can read English very well.
Yes.
They just don't like to communicate. They don't like to send emails in it, but they do. They do read English very well. So.
Well, Toritani's not any better about that because he writes pretty literate English.
We talk without a translator. We talk directly with each other. In English.
Yeah. They're pretty good at reading and writing, so. Okay, so what's the agenda?
If I write something in English, they would also read this directly without throwing it into some Google translation or so.
Oh, yeah. No, if it's just about moving the meeting and not complicated technical stuff, they'll just read it and reply, hopefully.
Yes.
If you're having some trends...
I'm also reporting bugs to Otani-san regularly, and he quickly answers and sends fixes.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I have found, because I work for a Japanese company, that if you have problems communicating, make the sentences very short and to the point, and not long, complicated sentences. They don't tend to like that.
Nor very long paragraphs, I find, with my Korean colleagues.
Yeah, so very short.
Short, direct, simple sentences and paragraphs.
Right, very short.
Paragraph when you got a new topic.
All right, so we should go on with this meeting, Till, because waiting for them. If they join us, we'll continue. We'll bring them back to speed. So what's the agenda?
Well, what is the agenda? That was one of the items, I think, attempting to get more productive printing architecture meeting than occasionally having George.
Okay, Lewis. Yeah, that's okay. I'll write that down.
Yes, this is already a very important item to get more effective
worldwide
architecture meeting. It's really a good idea to have two.
Right. So to split the architecture meeting into two different times, one that's U.S.-Japan friendly and one that's U.S.-Europe.
Also, we name them so that we can market them a bit better than we do. So we don't call them open printing steering committee meetings anymore.
No, just call them architecture
meetings.
I would just call them open printing meetings.
Yeah, we could just call them open printing meetings and announce them on open printing architecture and occasionally send it to the printing summit list as well.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have to call it architecture or nothing. It's just a meeting.
Open printing meeting. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Better. If we get big enough to have a steering committee, then we'll come back.
Well, I mean, we can still have steering committee members showing up. But it doesn't have to be.
Right. If it isn't
productive to close it, if we can get people to attend, as George and some others have done, that's good.
Yeah, I mean, if we had anything particular to do, we can handle it offline. So it's not a big deal. I can't imagine what it would be right now. How do we get the worldwide involvement at least?
Well, yeah, if we had anything serious to do, since we no longer have a closed reflector, we should do what we have done in the past and send direct email to, you know,
right.
Reported steering committee members to make, you know, policy decisions.
And one thing I would also do, for example, if we put one call, for example, the Japan call into the first week of the month, that, for example, we put the US-Europe call into the third week of the month.
Right, so it's 2 weeks staggered. Does that work for you, Glenn?
Oh, that's no problem.
We, as the core part, have every 2 weeks a meeting.
Yeah, I mean, we do need to get...
And simply once with Europe and once with Japan.
I think that's a great idea, Till. We need to get the Japanese, if they're not involved, I haven't really been reading their emails, get involved in the Common Print Dialogue and all that.
Yeah.
For the common printing dialogue, we are now very well equipped. We have 3 students working on it for the Google Summer of Code. 1 for patching applications and 1 for the KDE dialogue and 1 for the GNOME dialogue. But I think I had them already as we had the summit. In total, we have 7 students working for printing stuff. So we were very successful in finding students.
No, Till, you just do a lot of hard work. I don't know how you did it this last month. You must have been crazy. Between putting the summit on, doing Google, keeping up with your normal job. Gosh.
Yes, this was really a lot of work at that time.
Yes. Well, we're kind of on hold, at least I am, on my student until he gets out of school. So
what?
I'm on hold until he gets out of school.
Yes.
Yeah, so... maybe late next week I'll start communicating with him and just to get reestablished.
Yes.
But he wants to do his thing right now, so...
Because now it's close to the recording period starts.
So, just to bring Ira up to speed, Ira, I'm considering, I've already talked to Till about it, considering writing up the good parts of the emails that went on last month, or the last 2 weeks.
Oh, the sort of emails that spun out of some topics after the face-to-face.
To get a common understanding.
Yes, this would be great.
In fact, this is my proposal, Till, I'm thinking about, is I'd like to break it down, the whole print solution, from app to end, into the smallest pieces that are reasonable, write up at least my interpretation, okay?
Yeah.
And then those small enough pieces, we can get domain experts to look at.
Yes.
Because, you know, like the preview, do we need color management? Well, even the color management guy says probably not.
Yes.
So I think if we get a common understanding of the little pieces, I think we might have a better chance of getting the whole thing to flow together.
Yes, yes, I think so too.
And I didn't mean to be so pushy, I just...
Yes. And perhaps you could even, instead of posting it as emails on the list, you could even put it into the wiki.
Yeah, so what I wanted to do is just make a first draft and send it to the three of us.
Yes.
Okay, I mean, you guys aren't quite going to kill me as often as the other people.
Well, yeah, no, it's... you know, Glenn, you never were out of line. There are just some real difficulties here. I don't know if either of you guys have actually read my, such as it is, partial summary that needs updating from somebody that was there for some of the conclusions, but on the sections about... the open printing dialogue, and especially in my further summary to my Samsung lab, I said, Lars has made great headway on the API, George was right, we should focus on the API, which is getting somewhere, and we are in disappointing still paper prototypes after 3 years and no schedule for the common printing dialogue from open usability, and I believe there is, and I've said this in Samsung, far from general agreement that it's a good design idea. Even if it's a great design idea, it's not getting implemented. So George was right to bring up the argument that he brought up.
It's complicated. It's, you know, the issue with open print with open source. It's always been there's no directed funding. I mean, look what Google did with Android. They poured money into it, closed the doors, and says, okay, make this thing. Then they open the door, but they got a big quantum jump. And we never get that quantum jump. I mean, the best we're able to do now is the summer students, which are doing a great job.
Well, and the fact that we bear in mind... Look at how many people came or called in to the Open Printing Summit. And I know you can say, oh, that was smaller than before. But, Glenn, you're also aware of how big recent PWG meetings have been.
Oh, no. I was impressed by the number of people who came to the Open Printing.
I think that the Open Printing Summit was the rarely viable meeting in this calendar year that I've heard of from any standards organization.
Yeah, PWG is the... yeah, that's another subject.
A bad financial situation. This was a great summit, and it worked very well that we got also the important people who could not travel onto the phone.
But we've lost people. We lost Norm Jacobs.
Yep.
He hasn't done anything, has he? He hasn't resurfaced anywhere doing private work for us, has he?
He did call into the summit twice.
Oh,
I don't know how long he stayed on.
Oh, yeah. So I mean, you know, we keep losing people. Not going to be good.
Well, Yeah, I mean, between losing people and people being laid off out of their company or out of their division so that they just aren't, you know, it's not part of their day job to be even vaguely concerned, the trouble is we don't then pick up people from various vendors. It's, you know, has some similarity to problems of the PWG. It's
right.
Got members that, member companies that where the member never attends.
Yes, we do have that situation, yes. So, well, I think we're all aware of the problem. We just have to be aware that our time is, it takes longer for us because of this openness. So that's why I think you don't see the implementation of the GUI from Peter. Now, from my side, again, because I want to work on the embedded and mobile, his new design is not very conducive any longer. So I am writing a new proposal just for mobile.
So that for mobile, one develops a completely independent new dialogue, but one simply uses the same.
And I really did not want to do that.
For mobile, one can plug simply another dialogue in.
Right. I mean, the dialogue, the concept I want to use in mobile, which I thought what we were doing in desktop, but I don't think we're doing it now, was to just print. So basically now when my proposal for mobile is when you pop up the print dialog, it'll have little icons across the bottom that one says text, one says, you know, web pages, one says photo.
So that only the quick buttons appear.
Right, so basically...
Yeah, and behind them is nothing. There's the button.
Right. Now, I could have an escape if we're going to the WinCE or some other device which has more screen and more power. We could put some more behind it. But then at some very quick level, you want to jump into Peter's dialogue. Okay, we don't want to. We don't want the mobile to migrate up to a whole new big dialogue. We want to go...
No, you want to scale it, like you said, from the zero to the first level and so on.
Right, so, I mean, I could add a couple options, like number of pages, number of copies, or something like that, but beyond the normal basic things, we need to, if we want to do something more complicated than that, we should really jump into the full dialogue.
Then we should jump to the level one, level two pages of Peter's dialogue, yes.
Right. And on mobile, there's no real estate, but we'll have to think about it. So that was the only, I wasn't happy about changing it, but he changed the format and layout so much that it's just not very conducive anymore.
I noticed that the format and layout tilted really heavily towards the preview, only the preview's only 225 by something or other, and as all the color guys and a bunch of other people from Red Hat and so on commented, but that's not big enough to be anything but a glorified thumbnail for layout. You don't do real layout with a miniaturized preview.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of what I want to write up in this description is what I gathered from all the conversations about, you know, okay, the preview, is it just a big thumbnail? Are we going to do anything else with it? And try to get it all in writing versus, you know, this month we talked about it in this meeting and the next month we forgot and we changed our mind. You know, it gets kind of confusing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping for a little coherence. And yes, there'll be a couple battles because there always are, but once the battles are all, you know, over, we should have a nice coherent document, which, as Till says, I'll put on the wiki. Because I really don't want to have somebody come new into this organization or new because they're doing Linux printing all of a sudden on some device, and they go, oh, well, why'd you do that? Well, okay, go read this page. Or an application wants to write printing, and they go, what are they required? What is the expectation of the application? And what can they expect from the print dialogue?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I was hoping to do, is just stop, because it takes us so long, stop any randomness.
Right.
Well, of course, it's evergreen. It would change if the world changes, but...
Well, yeah, but...
Printing has
I'm, I'm delighted that you're thinking of writing up some kind of a consensus or, summary, only because a whole lot of good conversation went by, and I would like some of it, some of the essential points, not to get lost.
Right. Right. So.
And I agree with you, Glenn. We need to have somewhere, even if it's only email threads and blogs, we need to have some visible consensus from discussions that came out of the printing summit, not just discussions at the printing summit.
Yeah, heaven forbid we'd write a standard, Ira.
Oh, yeah, we might even.
And we also need, and also with such a page, Glenn, if you write it up and have it on the wiki, we can simply tell the students this is what they have to do.
Right, right. No, I think it's educational from everything from a user, an application, from a user to an application down to the driver developers. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't waste my time. Now, I don't think till I got the impression, and maybe you can help in guiding me on what you'd like me to do, I don't think I got much reaction about doing the self-validation project.
You mean at the face-to-face meeting?
Yeah.
That was one of the ones where I don't know what the conclusions were because I couldn't hear well enough on the net.
Well, I don't think anybody particularly verbally made a conclusion. I mean, the people from Lexmark stated, we test all of our drivers before they leave. I mean, we're not going to do that. Trust me, Epson tests all of their drivers before they leave.
Yeah, so we simply say the printer supports Linux when a driver is uploaded and nothing more.
Right. So
Glenn,
I mean, I'm willing to do it. That's not a problem. I already asked to do it, but can I? Maybe I should spend my time writing this document versus doing that project. I don't know.
Right now, maybe yes. Only because the strongest supporters for the validation mostly were RICO people and the Japanese members that weren't present.
Well, the strongest proponents of the validation was the LSB.
Well, yeah, no, but I meant of self-validation. The LSB wants us to have some kind of a brand that they can charge us for.
And a certification program. But.
And a certification program, and in our spare time as free software, we should go write all these test scripts, uh-huh. But
and like I said, so I'm not trying to back out of the work. I'm willing to do it, but is that the best use of my time for this for the Open Printing Group?
Is the self-validation stuff?
Yeah.
Well, that's why I said, this month, no. More useful is spending your time writing the summary of mobile printing topics.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to focus on that until you someone
write the summary for Glenn. It's better you write up the summary so that there's more material which the students can follow. Because the coding period starts at the 23rd of May.
Okay.
Having any write-up about how printer manufacturers could test their drivers, this can come later.
Yeah, because we all test them already, and so you're going to have to push back to the LSB if they start mentioning certification again.
Well, I mean,
right now that's not the priority. I think we need an open printing.
Yes,
it's a bandwidth.
Priorities are ones that the dialogue is continued, and another priority is that the driver download infrastructure gets finished. That there's the upload web application.
Right, right.
So,
and right, we need to continue to make headway on the things we are making headway on.
Now.
Yeah, I mean, we have the common print dialogue now has enough workforce behind it. now we really, I know the other groups have said, yes, we'll take it, but have they taken it? Will they take it? So that's going to be the next hurdle, is getting everybody to start adopting it. May not be as easy as you think. So
getting a particular Linux distribution to ship KDE with the default set to it gets the new open printing dialog, not the KDE dialog.
Yeah, you got to convince KDE and GNOME.
If they use the CPD API.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that, you know, that's a very small hurdle.
And Lars is writing patches for KDE and GNOME to implement the CPD API in KDE and GNOME.
Okay, so as long as you're aware that right now I have put the validation project on hold and we'll leave it there until we all decide that it's important again.
Yes.
Can I record that, Glenn?
Oh, absolutely. People should know.
Okay.
Because it should...
Glenn, I was putting a note in the minutes, and this doesn't preclude you from sending private, you know, copies to Till or I, that just says, summary of mobile printing issues and topics. Glenn, work in progress.
Okay.
Okay? And self-validation project...
is on?
Glenn. On hold. On hold for now, on hold for more interest?
Well, it's on hold due to higher priority activities.
On hold due to higher priority activities.
Within open printing.
Yeah, higher priority OP activities.
I don't want somebody to think it's just because my work's gotten different or something.
Okay, I put, for example... GSOC.
Who's GSOC?
Okay.
Who's GSOC?
Google Summer of
Code.
Oh. No. More the write-up, but that's okay. Yeah, I understand.
Okay. Well, I can put. No, I don't. I can remove the for example too.
It's just
say higher priority OP activities. Right. That's fine. Good. Okay. And the Google Summer of Code, I'm not going to reiterate, but just say it's ongoing.
But we got
yes.
From the last time you would have known, Ira, we got the students assigned.
This is, if you guys had seen my summary, every single assigned student and who was assigned and all seven projects are in my summary.
Yeah, I was in the middle of a mail discussion with people at that time.
Oh, okay, but what I wanted to say is two things in my summary, Glenn, are much newer than the actual conference. One is the state of the Google Summer of Code and the actual assigned student and sometimes the mentors like OpenICC Consortium. And the other is all the PWG document status is much newer, Glenn, and is more accurate than the slides I made because there's an actual adopted scan service standard with a number and several other changes.
Yeah, so as far as the Google Summer of Code, the next real event is May 23rd when students start coding.
Yes.
May 23rd?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, got it. People about it, Glenn. I'm going to leave open print. These were topics from March.
I'm going to leave Open Printing Summit in, and I'm going to just give the link again to the summary that I wrote, and again ask that if someone was there and got some of the, could fill in some of the conclusions or discussion more, that would be good.
It would be great if you move it then into the wiki, this summary.
Yeah, if you
so that people can directly write into it.
Yeah, if you could PDF it.
It's not in the wiki now.
Yeah, it is PDF, Glenn. It's posted in HTML and PDF.
And then just link it all on the
yes, this I have done.
Schedule.
Yes.
Did you put the link from the wiki, Till?
Yeah, that's all fixed now. It should work.
Yes,
yeah,
it's already on this link.
Okay. I didn't link it right away to the wiki, Phil, because I was hoping someone would actually pick it up and add some text to it. But
instead of trying to do that, Ira, I think I'll just take your comments and all the comments from emails and the discussion from my notes and just put it in the document I'm going to write.
Okay, the long summary I posted, it's quite long, Glenn.
No, that's fine. I'll just take out the pieces as it goes along and stick
it's like 700 lines because it's on of plain text, you know, markup because it's got selected important bullets from every slide set.
No problem. I just what I need for that report, I'll take your notes, my notes, and all the emails and try to get a coherent piece of document.
Okay, so you're writing something rather bit larger than mobile printing topics.
No, the whole discussion, the whole thing about does the preview need to be CM, does the application...
Okay, right, all right, well, that's all in there to the extent I could capture it.
Right, and then if I have any notes, I'll add those.
Great, so anyway, it's in PDF and HTML, so you can easily cut and paste it to whatever format you want to take things.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, Till, when you post the meeting recording, would you post it one directory level up and just delete the directory op-steering committee so it's in openprinting/download/meeting notes?
I could do so.
And then change the file name to be op meeting and delete the sc hyphen.
Yes, because now we have renamed our series of meetings, and so I will reflect it also in the file names of recordings.
Okay, I am doing it in the header of minutes that I'm in the process of writing, but I'll wait for your exact link to make sure I get it right before I send the minutes, but I'll post the link again to the recording.
Yes, we call them simply open printing meetings.
Yeah. Yeah, if we just call them OP meeting instead of OPSC meeting for the, you know, file name with the date, then that's good.
Yes.
So on a side note, Till, I am writing the instructions for the PPDs.
Ah, yes, great. Yes, and what I've done in the last days, I have fixed a lot of stuff in the CAPS raster output driver of GhostScript, once the handling of the borders was completely buggy.
So, another subject. Ira, have you ever looked at the CAPS raster output?
Output?
It's format.
No.
It's content.
No, I haven't.
Well, I really encourage you to go look at it, because basically what he does is he puts out the equivalent of a page job print ticket at the front of every set of every page, like shift this, blah, blah, you know, duplex, end up, whatever it needs to be. I can't remember all the details.
All the print ticket-like processing instructions.
But it's done on a page-by-page basis as the outputs is raster, so the printer driver knows what to do with each page.
Which means it's
like
it's a flammable
page image format with a job ticket.
Yes. So what I would really like to start encouraging everybody, I don't know if Michael will change, but to start using the JTAPI attributes and values.
Oh, in the body of such a ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a hard sell.
I know, but I think if you get a spare moment, I know you've just moved in and blah, 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 but it'd be interesting if you just did a quick look to see what's really missing.
Oh, in the current one. Okay. Yep.
I think, you know, it's a very good thing. I like it. But I didn't have time to analyze it to see what was missing. But it is a good thing to do, and if it's going to migrate or grow or do anything, we might just kind of nudge it towards the JTAPI attributes.
Yeah, but for compatibility reasons, I have a difficulty believing Mike will go there.
No. If we're going to add stuff, I don't like making that kind of radical change to anything. But if we're adding new attributes, let's suggest using that stuff.
Well, we can try.
I mean,
he does the same thing in his PDF and in his PostScript in DSCs, you know, in PDF comments and PostScript.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he does CUP's proprietary job ticket. In his position, he has an embedded job ticket. Works just fine. Just doesn't happen to use JTAPI names or exactly IPP names or substitute anything else, JDF or PWG names.
Right. Ones that work for him. Yeah, no, I understand. That's what you do, so.
I mean, if we could get him to migrate so that the dictionary supported both names for properties that were close enough to actually, you know, cohere someday.
Oh, I guess that's what I meant.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe just dual entry in the dictionary. That would be okay.
Yeah, if we could get him to move in that direction, that would be great. But of course, and if Claudia were still active, she would turn over in her grave and say, no, that's creating an open printing job ticket. But practically speaking, the JTAPI names are an open printing job ticket.
Oh, yeah, she doesn't, you know, I know she doesn't like that. I know she doesn't like that, but now if she thinks about it, Michael has a job ticket. So now we
yes,
have,
and Adobe has a job ticket, and Xerox has a job ticket, and several others that I've seen.
Almost every print manufacturer, I mean, you know,
has some variant thereof, a job ticket, job template-y, basically, job processing instructions, which are embedded in or attached to by pointer or body in jobs. And they're all thoroughly incoherent, which means pretty hard to get support for all of that goop in the Linux open printing, in the Linux open source kind of environment, because who's going to write all those interpreters?
Yeah, so I think the next phase is a common job ticket, but I didn't say that out loud. The only other thing I wished he had done, I don't know why he did it, but he put the image data after the job instructions.
And you think he should have put the instructions before a la classic PDF, for instance?
He put the job instructions before the image data.
I misspoke. You think he should have put the image before he put the instructions, which is the way a PDF page lays out.
Not for another reason, that if someone can't interpret the job instructions, they can at least interpret the image.
Well, as long as you have a well-structured bracket like the micro job ticket or something, you can skip the job instructions, right?
Yeah, you should be able to do that, right.
I think he puts the job instructions before so that you can more easily screen this format.
No, I know exactly why he did it.
Before you say...
No, I know why he did it. It's a great design. There's nothing wrong with the design. No, please don't misunderstand. He says, I was thinking about it. I says, oh, my God, I suppose I don't know how to deal with it, but I could get the image data. Oh, well, it doesn't matter.
So I think what we want to do is to encourage all encodings, vendor and standard, that are ever embedded in document data or embeddable to use well-structured start and end brackets such that it is trivial to write a little routine in C or C++ or Java or whatever that just skips it all.
Or the first byte is always the data offset byte.
Right, yeah, or there's actually, yeah, right, there's actually a binary pointer forward to the data. That's a possibility.
Right. So, anyway, I think, but I was surprised, and I really liked it, so.
So good. Okay, well, I will try to take a look at it, Glenn. That's not going to get into the minutes as an action item.
One thing about CUP Rasta is that the CUP, if you have the current released GoScript 8.64, that the CUP Rasta output device is rather buggy concerning the margins. It starts already if you print a landscape document that you do not get the correct unprintable margins, which can lead to a little shift of the image on the paper, and also to wider white margins that are really necessary.
How many existing vendor drivers accept his raster?
Existing vendor drivers, I think, for example, there are Canon drivers which use CUPS Raster.
Uh-huh.
Not all use CUPS Raster, some use also Open Printing Vector. And Brother drivers, I think they use, I'm not sure whether they use it, but can be also, but for sure Samsung drivers use CUPS Raster.
Okay, I'm just curious. Okay, anyway, I didn't want to derail the subject. I just thought it was an interesting... When he said raster, I didn't know what he meant.
The CUPS Raster seems to be the easiest interface for driver programmers.
Yeah, because it has all the information.
So if I look also in the third-party drivers, it looks like that if someone wants to quickly make a driver and pick up some interface format, he opts for CUPS Raster.
Right, right.
And the CUPS Raster device, I fixed up the margins. They were really broken.
Oh.
And yes. And then I have, probably it was overlooked on testing, for example, it was printed typical pages of word processors, for example, who have a wider white border than the printer is capable of. Then you don't see if the margins are a bit wrong. And
yeah, I went to this kind of market.
Also, many printers, the four border widths are the same, and so their one did not see these bugs too, and I've done really by making an artificial PPD file with four different border widths on the four sides, and so I could, and then I've used Mike Sweet's Raster View, a special program which shows CUPS Raster output on the screen, and so I could really see these bugs.
He has a viewer. Is that
totally overlooked? What?
He has a viewer for the raster.
Yes. Mike has written a viewer and put it out as free software.
Okay, I'll have to go get it. All righty. So what else do we need to talk about, Till?
I've also implemented missing support for duplex related keywords, which Mike has added to as PPD extensions, but he has not implemented them in his raster output device. And HP people complained about that. And so I've also fixed that. I hope you have seen my mails on printing architecture about this stuff.
Yeah, I've been busy today. I haven't really tried to read that stuff today.
yes. So if you play around with CUPS Raster and PPD files, you should that you have all these problems fixed.
Okay. What else do we have?
I think one of these things, I think it was one of the key words, I have asked Mike perhaps some months ago why whether he asking him to implement this in the, and he told that he had no time for that. And currently I've already fixed a lot of bugs in this output device earlier, perhaps half a year ago or a little bit more. I fixed segmentation faults in that output device, which occurred with the PDF as input format.
Yuck.
Yes, and this was my first experience to fix Ghost Script drivers.
You weren't encouraged, huh?
Guys, I have a question. I'm putting in tentative meeting dates for next month on our hypothesis of a first meeting and a second meeting of the month on the first and third weeks. Leaving the first meeting at its present times, hypothetically, with Japan participating. But so 2 weeks later, that would make it Monday the 15th, all things being equal, would be the U.S. Europe meeting. Till, do you want it to be as late as 7 in Europe, or should we shift it earlier? I mean, Glenn and George are both fairly early people on the West Coast.
Yes, perhaps better 5 or 6 in Europe.
Well, that's what I was thinking, 5 in Europe. Is 5 better or 6? Well, the trouble is, it's going to be an hour earlier in London than it is in Berlin, right?
Yes.
So somewhere it's going to hit somebody's dinner unless, you know, they're just a little flexible.
Well, but I'm the only person from the West Coast, right?
Well, and George Liu.
Oh, that's right, George. Because I get to work at 6 and can be realistically ready for a meeting at 7.
Well, George is also an early person when he's on the West Coast. That's why I was thinking about 8 on the East Coast, Glenn, 11 where I am, making it 4 in the afternoon. Wait, it's 6 hours later in Berlin. Is that right? It is. Making it 5 in the afternoon in Berlin and 4 in the afternoon in London.
Yes, I think it's a good...
Okay, I'm going to put those times in.
Yes.
Okay, that sounds good. And then you just leave the times open for the Japanese until we get a time from them.
Yeah, the other just... This time for these two says tentative, and up in the minutes it says proposed new time for, you know, Europe is this. For the U.S.-Europe second call of the month.
Yeah, I think that's probably good.
Okay.
Yes, And as we take as a time standard for the Japan meeting, which we take there 8 in the morning in Tokyo always, and the hours move a little bit for the other countries due to daylight saving time, we could also say, for example, the other meeting is fixed to 5 in the afternoon in Europe.
Which would make it the middle of the night in Japan, right?
Yes, as this one is not the meeting which is foreseen for Japan.
Right, that's the one we just talked about, Till. I'm tentatively going to make it 5 for you and 4 for London.
Yes, so that we only have an orientation point, because when it gets daylight saving time, that we exactly know what we have to do.
Right.
So that we say, as the first meeting is always at 8 in the morning in Tokyo, we could say the other meeting is always at 5 in the afternoon in Berlin.
Oh, you mean, and the U.S. chases the on and off of the... We have to pick either the U.S. or Europe chases, right?
Yes.
If we did 9 o'clock in Tokyo, that's the current time now. Oh, that's too inconvenient for for Till, right?
Yeah, well, it's 2 a.m. for Till.
Okay, so if we go to...
They're 7 hours apart.
If we add 6 hours, that's the middle of the night for us, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it gets I'm willing to do it, but 6 hours is too much because it's from 7 until 1 a.m.
Is this a toll-free number?
Yes. No. It is not.
No, it's a normal, it's standard.
It's a toll number.
Okay.
I don't know. We need to work on it.
We do it fine.
It's very hard. It's almost impossible to... I think it is impossible to pick a time that really works for Japan and U.S. and Europe unless we shift really radically and it's Japanese evening. That bears some thinking about.
Yeah, is it Japanese 5 or 6? What does it make it here?
That's what I was working out in my head. It's too darned early for you. It'd have to be Japanese evening. Otherwise, when we wind back that many hours to Glenn, it's too unbelievably early in the morning. Right?
I can't do this in my head.
Because it's 6 hours back from Japan to Berlin. And, you know, so from 9 to 3 in the afternoon. It's from Berlin to me is another 6 hours, and that makes it 9 in the morning, and 3 more hours makes it 6 in the morning. That's what I was saying, Glenn. The way we used to do this when I was in Houston, Texas, was that Japan came on at 10 in the evening and stayed on for a couple hours and left the teleconference. But, you know, that works.
Actually, it's 7-hour difference between Tokyo and Berlin right now. So...
Yes, it's 7-hour difference, right, so it's 13 hours to the U.S. current 2 daylight savings times from Japan, and 16 hours to the west coast of U.S., which is why it's got to be, you know, 10 or 11 in the evening in Japan, or it can't be some reasonable hour on the east coast, even for an early bird. It doesn't work well. Somebody in one of the 3 continents, we wind up with a pretty darn late at night time, or 4 a.m. or some other impossible time.
Well, what's the earliest you would consider a meeting, Ira?
The earliest I would consider a meeting?
Yeah.
In the day?
Yeah.
Potentially quite early, but you're 3 hours earlier.
Right, but I don't have problems coming to work early. It's George that might have a problem.
Well, but, yeah, but I mean if...
Oh, no, we're not worried about George. Forget George.
George, we're going to catch on the other meeting, we hope.
Right, that was the key, is that
yeah.
Only 3 of us are the bridge.
Yeah, so...
I'm pretty open to early. I don't like late.
Well... When are you coming in at 6?
Currently, but if I had to come in earlier, an hour earlier, I could.
Well, we're talking, if I just added these numbers up right, on the current daylight saving time shift, you're 16 hours earlier than Japan. So 10 in the evening in Japan is 6 in the morning.
Yeah, which is really late for them.
Yeah, it is, because those guys are all early people.
Well, yeah, they're both, but...
Well, yeah, but I mean... Yes,
all right.
They are.
Let's work on it offline.
Okay. Well, I'm going to leave it the current way, and I left, you know, OP Japan members, please suggest an alternate time.
Right, I'll Okay.
I mean, I don't know what else to do with it for right now for a proposed time for next week, for next month.
Okay. Now the question is, do you want to have the meeting we are going to have the meeting in 2 weeks, on the 18th?
Yes, we should simply start this.
I wasn't even thinking of doing that. I was actually proposing two June meeting times, so we had time long enough to talk about the times and correct them.
Yeah, but the times, I think, for Europe are much easier than they are for Japan.
Okay.
And do we want more input from the rest of the people? If we don't really need it this month, then that's okay.
Okay. If we meet again in 2 weeks, it's going to be the three of us. We won't have gotten any people from Europe to show up yet, right, besides Till.
Why?
Because of insufficient notice, I suspect. We can try. Is that what you... I had not been thinking about starting in 2 weeks. I had been thinking about starting with some meeting at the first week of the month that was with Japan, and some meeting at the third week of the month that was with U.S. and Europe, and I was thinking about next month, but we can try and do it now.
I mean, if we try doing it at the 18th and the three of us show up, we'll hang up. We already know the status.
Okay.
I mean, it's not an inconvenient hour for any of us.
No.
Is that okay?
Yeah, it's viable for me.
Yeah, I don't have a problem. And if there's nobody there but us, we'll just say, no, we don't have any information, and that's the end of the meeting.
I was kind of asking, since we were going to meet again in a month, if we needed to meet in 2 weeks, Glenn. That's what I was asking.
Okay.
I have a hell of a lot of commitments this month for Samsung. If I wasn't in any public standards work, and sadly I am.
And I don't think, I mean, by the 18th, nothing will really have happened on the Summer of Code or anything, because nothing happens till the 23rd. So maybe we should just wait.
Yes.
So I'll put down on my notes, we'll start this the 1st of June.
Well, yeah, what I did was to put the 1st of June is going to continue to be... The first week of June and the first week in general is going to continue to be the Japanese-U.S. meeting, the
right.
Japanese-U.S. TIL meeting. We'll work it out. And the advertised as Japanese-U.S. meeting, and the third week is going to be advertised as the Europe-U.S. meeting.
No, that's fine. Okay. I just thought, you know, we could get together this month, but there's probably not
we
much.
We could get together sooner, but honestly, I'm badly overcommitted this month, and I did just move.
Was Shaw's layoff a reduction in force? I was shocked.
Yes and no.
Oh, okay.
Is what I have been told by my boss and by her boss.
Wait, remember, you're being recorded.
Yes. So, I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, I honestly don't, Till. Or, Glenn.
I was just curious, because someone said it, I heard on the grapevine that this was a reduction of force. I said, oh my God, Norm's gone, Shaw's gone, it's getting unnerving.
Yes, you know that Sun is bought by Oracle?
Yeah, but that layoff there is understandable. That's the overhead, Till.
Yes.
That'll be the, you know, the accountants and the sales force, they'll all get kind of merged together. So that I understand, but geez. Yeah, the Sun thing.
I don't know who will do the printing now for Solaris.
I don't know, because they let go of all three of the printing people. Not just Norm. They all went.
Yes.
No, I was shocked.
And who was the third?
Some other guy, I can't remember his name, but I was shocked. Anyway, enough of the gossip. Anything else, Till?
I think we have talked about everything now.
Alrighty, then I guess we can say goodbye.
Okay, bye. I will watch for the recording, Till, of the meeting minutes and the link, and